Blog Talk Radio.
Still a few more strands to cut before flying free.
But with that newfound sense of beauty and serenity, there is no going back. We are on our way. Maybe we don't have a Rand McNally road atlas, but we're all figured it out together along the way. Unfortunately, all that is vile, ugly, and evil about this world didn't magically disappear overnight 2 weeks ago. Although that would have been acceptable to me, I really didn't expect it to happen. We certainly seem to have an awful lot of cleanup work ahead of us. Those who have used humanity as renewable resource for so long are on their way out. I think even as they can see that now, which is going to make them more dangerous and unpredictable to be sure. Rest assured, they will continue to attempt to hijack this great awakening, just as Hitler vainly attempted to save his Third Reich, even when he knew Germany was defeated. After all, they are all psychopathic sycophants and dilettantes, so don't expect them to go down without a goodly amount of chaos. But go down they will, even if it takes a decade or a generation. Their day is gone. I believe that unity consciousness is our destiny as evolving spiritual beings, and that the gateway is through the human heart. We're learning things about the heart we never knew or suspected, like the fact that the heart sends more information to the brain than vice versa. How about the fact that the heart creates its own electromagnetic field, which can extend out to 15 feet and influence the emotions and the energy around us, kind of a morphic field and a new way to communicate. Unity consciousness is so much more than embracing the concept that we are all connected to the collective consciousness of humanity. It is embracing the reality that we are one with the universal mind, the source. When we look into the eyes of a lover, friend, or enemy, we are not seeing our brother or a sister. We are seeing ourselves reflected and deflected through filters and layers of understanding and remembering. The ultimate goal in all of this, I believe, is for humanity to remember that all there really is love. I always find it oddly ironic that the master plan of the psychopaths in power is really just an evil distortion of unity consciousness. While we envision a peaceful future where humanity has embodied the spiritual resonance of the heart-centered unity, cooperation, and love, they would equally turn us into the Borg collective with their transhuman agenda. I am reminded of an old butter commercial where the tagline was, "It's not nice to fool Mother Nature." The powers that are now in the process of learning that lesson. In their utter ignorance, they actually thought they could use an assortment of high-tech scientific hardware and other pacification techniques to put humanity in a state of arrested development below the threshold of evolution. And keep us there as perpetual slaves. Just how deranged do you have to be to think you can derail a process you don't understand and cannot control? As for the rest of us, well, we are learning an important lesson as well about blindly allowing a band of criminal psychopaths to rise up and take control of the world as we waited for someone to save us. We are learning that we are the ones we've been waiting for. The system, now crumbling down around us, does not contain the mechanisms of reform. This system was never meant to be equitable. Its very structure precludes fairness and equality in favor of enriching select elites and their slavering followers who always think their cooperation will be rewarded. The whole thing is just a house of cards, really, ready to collapse. The elites are currently propping up the facade for a little longer as they attempt to wring every ounce of treasure and resource possible out of it before stepping away and letting it all crash down for good. None of these people are the least bit invested in saving their system or us. They intend to be safely tucked away somewhere when the crash happens, believing the rest of us will be too consumed with survival to form a posse and hunt them down. They are so very pleased with themselves. They think they will never be held accountable for their crimes against the Earth and her passengers, and they might just be right. However, if they are wrong, one day they must face us and answer for their actions, and how we deal with it will define us and our destiny as a race. If the Neocon war crimes trial ever begins, we had better be ready to embrace them with unconditional love, forgiveness. Whoops, my cat is right in the way, and compassion. After all, they are very sick in the head. If we fail to do so and instead favor treating them as they have treated us, then we have learned nothing and failed our greatest test as a species. If we truly embrace unity consciousness, then we will just know in our hearts how to deal with the situation. It must begin here and now in our hearts. We need to cultivate, explore the resonance of unity consciousness to make it a fundamental part of our souls. We need to remember that we are all one, that separation is illusion, and revenge is never sought by a loving and compassionate heart. There is an old saying that seeking revenge is like drinking poison, believing that it will kill your enemy. I wonder, have we come far enough down the path to see that, to really understand it? As Gandhi said, an eye for an eye leaves the whole world blind. Certainly those who stand trial need to be held accountable for what they have done. Their souls are contaminated, disordered, and decidedly dark. Instead of punishing with pain and deprivation, we must seek to rehabilitate these souls to save them, as it were, and ourselves. The reason is really simple. We all came here together, a group soul complex, and we must continue our sojourn back home to source. We must return as a unified whole with no one left behind. That alone kind of makes the case for unity consciousness. It isn't just a choice or an option. It's a requirement. And the sooner everyone gets it, the sooner we can all return home. I think there's probably a little more to this, but... yeah, there's a lot more to this, but... anyway, that's probably enough.
There's only a few paragraphs left on it.
This one, you think it takes quite a while to read that?
The reason I like this article to a large degree is because we've been talking about this for years on the show with George Dixon, and the unity consciousness was what he was talking about, and what this whole time period is. And we've seen so many things bring us here. There's only one, actually two paragraphs left.
Okay.
I'll read this. Unity consciousness manifestation. I believe we each have the cellular or genetic memory of being in unity consciousness. Before the great experiment that brought us here, we lived in that very resonance. Excuse me. We know it. It's us. We have forgotten on purpose. We agreed to it as part of the experiment, and now that we are beginning the group soul migration back home, we must remember that being in unity consciousness is our natural state of being. I wonder if the reason some people are so irritable and negative is because deep in their heart, they remember being in unity consciousness, and they don't remember how to get back into the flow of universal energy, which is unity consciousness. That's why it's so very important for the rest of us to be pathfinders and way showers right now to help with this great awakening, even our every way we can. Think for a moment about the electromagnetic field your heart generates, extending several feet in direction. It can and does affect the thoughts and emotions of those in proximity to it. And suppose we fill our hearts with the vibration of unconditional love and unity consciousness and pass that along silently to everyone we meet as our hearts communicate with the hearts all around us. Now imagine that spreading from person to person all around the planet like a wonderful virus called love. Sound good to you?
Yep.
If it helps, just think of it as homework and work we must do to get all of us home. Perhaps we're using words doesn't get the message across as we'd like, and maybe filling our hearts with love and unity will convey the message faster and faster and better. But not unlike that new smartphone app that lets you instantly transfer data to another phone simply by being in proximity. It is no longer just a brave new world we are living in. It is a brave new universe as we begin to understand that indeed we are the universe. The atoms that comprise our body and brains were created billions of years ago in a supernova explosion. So in every sense of things, we are star stuff, as Carl Sagan put it. To put it another way, we are the universe trying to understand itself by expressing as human life. So the next time you perceive that the universe is holding you back and telling you how small and insignificant you are, just wink at the universe and say, "Dude, I am you." That is the heart of universe unity consciousness. Welcome to the third, the world of the fifth sun. Please be good to each other. Ogre I. So, this is what we've been talking about for a long time. And I thought it would be a good way to start the show.
Very good.
There's a lot of stuff I don't go for recently, but I'm kind of excited that things are changing so rapidly, and people are waking up. Boy, they're waking up, and they're seeing things, and they're not liking it. They're not sure how to stop it, but you can't.
Mm-hmm.
This was a really kind of interesting article. It's about the Large Hadron Collider. Goes into a 2-year hibernation in March. What's the real reason? Now, this is an atom crusher.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And what it does, they've been able to create the beginning of the universe by crushing the first atoms, by atom crushing, right? Like simulating the Big Bang, right? And they found the God particle, which is really, really cool. So I'm going to read a little bit of that, if that's okay with you, and just to turn you on to it, and then you can go to the article called mail.com. Atom Smasher, I guess, gets staged for more discovery. The world's largest and most powerful atom smasher goes into a 2-year hibernation in March as engineers carry out a revamp to help it reach maximum energy levels that could lead to more stunning discoveries following the detection of the so-called God particle. With the reopening of this $10 billion proton collider in early 2015, the stage will be set for observing more rare phenomena and unlocking more mysteries. The Large Hadron Collider under the Swiss-French border will operate for 2 more months and shut down through 2014, allowing engineers to lay thousands more superconducting cables aimed at bringing the machine up to full design energy. And physicists at the European Center of Nuclear Research, known by its French acronym as CERN, C-E-R-N, won't exactly be idle as the colander takes a break. There are still reams more data to sift through since the July discovery of new a new subatomic particle called the Higgs boson. Higgs boson, dubbed the God particle, which promises a new realm of understanding of the universe. It cost $40 million to repair and improve the machine. Since its restart in November 2009, the colander has provided almost flawlessly, and the performed almost flawlessly, and the power produced has been ramped up to ever new record levels, creating a treasure trove of new data to sift through. But because of the 2008 accident, the collider could not run at energy level far below what it was designed to do. To fix that, Gill said, engineers over the next 2 years will install 10,000 redesigned superconducting cables that connect between the magnets that will vastly improve its capacity to stimulate the moments or simulate the moments after the Big Bang near 14 billion years ago. It will bring you more collisions, which means that more collisions you have, the more likely you are to see rare events. And the Higgs particle was just one of many on the wish list that we'd like to find. So higher energy increases your discovery potential. So they discovered the God particle, which is really, really cool. Anyway. I really hate the thought of what's happening here, but I think this is important to read. It says exposure limits, radio frequency, and microwave radiation in the workplace. Did you want to read this, or would you
sure.
Would you like to read this? Because I think it's important. You don't have to read the whole thing, but there's a lot of graphs here, but it's just a pretty brief thing that says here. Exposure limits too.
Is exposure limits. Okay.
Radio frequency and microwave radiation in the workplace.
That's bad for kids.
I know.
Exposure limits are RFMW, radio frequency and microwaves, are designed to keep the radio frequency and microwave energy absorbed by the body well below the lowest limits associated with demonstrative adverse effects and to reduce the likelihood of contact shocks and burns. Since the radio frequency and microwave energy absorbed by the body varies with the frequency of their fields, and since the rate of energy absorption is difficult to measure, the exposure limits are expressed in terms of frequency-dependent root mean square electric and magnetic field strengths, or in power density. Power density measures the amount of radiating energy crossing a given area in a given period of time. Okay. Occupational exposure of the whole body to RFMW field should not exceed the values in Table 1.
You don't have to go through that, but it's just the that we are experiencing it. In addition, workers should not be subject to RF contact burn, shocks or burns.
I don't know anybody that is, do you?
Well, I don't know. This can be achieved by reducing stray fields and appropriate insulation and grounding. The electric current flowing between a worker and an object energized by electromagnetic fields does not exceed the value in the table. I mean, everything has an electromagnetic field today. I mean,
do we?
Yeah. Working at a computer, you know, that's electromagnetic field. Wireless is electromagnetic. Or cell phone, electromagnetic. Even the phone, even a land phone still radiates. Microwaves, all that stuff is all there. And it's affecting us. You know, it's breaking down our bodies, for crying out loud. Burning our bodies, actually. Be aware of that. So, just thought I'd let you know. That was from the Ontario Ministry of Labor. Yeah. happy to hear this. Soursop fruit, 100-fold stronger at killing cancer than chemotherapy. That's right, soursop is a flowering evergreen tree native to tropical regions of the world. It also contains a long, prickly green fruit that happens to kill cancer up to 10,000 times more effectively than strong chemotherapy drugs, all without the nasty side effects and without harming healthy cells. According to cancer research, a UK, Annona Maricata, is an active principal in the herbal remedy marketed under the name Triamazon. The licensing for this product in the UK is not accepted due to its erroneous, enormous healing effects on the body and potential loss of profits for competing pharmaceutical drug cancer drugs. This tree is low in its and called raviola in Brazil, guanabana in Spanish, and has the uninspiring name soursop in English. And the fruit is very large, and the sub-acid sweet white pulp is eaten out of hand, or more commonly used to make fruit drinks and sherbets. Imagine that. It kills cancer. Unbelievable. Besides being a cancer remedy, graviola is a broad-spectrum antimicrobial agent for both bacterial and fungal infections. It is effective against internal parasites and worms, lowers high blood pressure, and is used for depression, stress, and nervous disorders. Deep within the Amazon rainforest, this tree grows wild and could literally revolutionize what you, your doctor, and the rest of the world think about cancer treatment and cases of survival, chances of survival. Research shows that with extracts from this miraculous tree, it now may be possible to attack cancer safely and effectively with all natural therapy that does not cause extreme nausea, weight loss, and hair loss. Protect your immune system and avoid deadly infections. Feel stronger and healthier throughout the course of the treatment, and boost your energy and improve your outlook on life. The source of this information is just as stunning. It comes from one of America's largest drug manufacturers, the fruit of the 20 laboratory tests conducted since the 70s, that those tests revealed was nothing short of mind-numbing. Extracts from the tree were shown to effectively target and kill malignant cells in 12 types of cancer, including colon, breast, prostate, lung, and pancreatic cancer. The tree compounds proved anti-cancer properties of the graviola tree have been extensively researched, so why haven't you heard about it? The drug industry began a search for a cancer cure, and their research centered on graviola, a legendary healing tree from the Amazon rainforest. It turns out the drug company invested nearly 7 years trying to synthesize two of the graviola tree's most powerful anti-cancer ingredients. If they could isolate and produce man-made clones of what makes the graviola so potent, they'd be able to patent it and make their money back. And alas, they hit a brick wall. The original simple simply could not be replicated. There was no way the company could project its profits or even make back the millions it poured into research. And as the dreams of huge profits evaporated, their testing on graviola became to a screeching halt. Even worse, the company shelved the entire project and chose not to publish the findings in its research. And where can you find it? As far as the fruit grows, you may be able to find it at some grocery and healthy food stores in your area. There are several different soursop juice manufacturers worldwide, and caution would be warranted in purchasing from any company unless you research their reputability and extraction methods. So that's what I'm saying. It's called soursop in English, but it's the graviola plant. Yeah. So G-R-A-V-I-O-L-A, or soursop, S-O-U-R-S-O-P. So if you're, you know, if you're a cancer patient, man, oh man, oh man, I would be jumping on this right now, you know, for real. Would you,
Yep.
I would think you would. It's called soursop. I like this saying a lot. It says, the further a society drifts from truth, the more it will hate those that speak it. It's by George Orwell. What do you think of that? Speaking truth?
Yep.
I'm going to give you something to read. I know you will be surprised to read. Here. You've already read it. Yeah.
All right. It says, a minimum of 40 children are paralyzed after a new meningitis vaccine. That's pretty scary, folks. On December 20th, 2012, a vaccine tragedy hit the small village of Goro, located in northern Chad, Africa. According to the newspaper La Voix, out of 500 children who received the new meningitis vaccine, ManAfraVac, at least 40 children between the ages of 7 and 18 have become paralyzed. These children also suffer hallucinations and convulsions. Oh, this sounds terrible. Since this report, the true extent of the tragedy is coming to light as parents of these vaccinated children have reported yet more injuries. The authorities in the area are shaken as citizens have sensitized themselves to fire. The authorities in this area are shaken as citizens that fired to a sanitary administration vehicle and they found, the authorities in this area are shaken as citizens that fired to a sanitary administration vehicle. Sorry, I thought they set fire to the administration vehicle. In a demonstration of their frustration and anger at the government's negligence, let's see. It says on this other page. Isn't a terrible thing, huh?
It's kind of genetic.
They don't seem to have any, they don't suffer any remorse for any of it.
You can't. What?
Well, I don't want that.
You
want
to kill everybody? They can.
Men. AfraVac is a new vaccine manufactured by Serum Institute of India Limited, according to the Meningitis Vaccine Project. MVP is the first vaccine to gain approval to travel outside the cold chain, meaning that the vaccine can be transported without refrigeration or ice packs for up to 5 days. A Meningitis A vaccine known as MenAfrac, created to meet the needs of Africa's meningitis belt, can now be kept in a controlled environment temperature chain as temperatures of up to 40 degrees centigrade for up to 4 days. And now a decision that could help increase campaign efficiency and coverage and save funds normally spent maintaining the challenging cold chain during the last mile of vaccine delivery. I'm losing my voice. Go right there. Do we have a little something to play so that maybe we can save our voices a little bit?
Yeah. Unfortunately, not with this computer.
We can play the things from YouTube, a couple of things.
And it's anything here. YouTube-ish. You?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. YouTube-ish. Who's the YouTube-ish? This was a good one. goes along with what the unity consciousness one. It's not as long. But when people talk about a paradigm shift, they mean a shift in recognized pattern of things that we can say is the standard model that forms the basis of people's comprehension and understanding. We are in the process of mankind's biggest consciousness shift in history. The reason being, as I wrote 15 years ago, is that there are two parabolas of energy. The world has split into two different evolutionary directions. One parabola is curving downward and inward. It is becoming more regressive and more unaware, blind, while the other is opening outwards and upwards toward a greater perception and awareness of higher spirituality. There are two distinct evolutions of humanity here on Earth now. Not all humans are the same.
I agree with that.
Well, I wondered about this because it's kind of different in a sense that he says people are just won't go. And the people on the downward parabola, which is traveling toward the demonic dimensions, feel the loss of vitality, and though that perceived threat, they become the paranoid fascists. The police state is born from the sentiments of the regressive parabola. The people whose evolution is ending or dying, and albeit it might take decades for them to all perish. But on the open parabola, people can perceive like never before. Their curve goes towards love, acceptance, and celestial heavens. The most perceptive and sensitive humans that have ever lived are alive on Earth today. This is because of two things. Firstly, once the two parabolas left each other and separated in the 1960s with flower power and the music of that era, there was then less and less impediment from the regressive curve to hold the progressive people back. Then left the system. They left the system and went their own way. In my book, I call them the fringe dwellers. And secondly, because the people on the open progressive parabola sought transcendence, they found it. It was granted to them. They became humans with a multidimensional perception. It is as if they are half human, half angel, and one foot in this world and one foot in a higher place. They and only they have the consciousness to build a brave new world once the old world dies, and their children will inherit the earth. And then there is a golden age for a time, 1,000 years, say. Then the regressives start to incarnate once more, and the cycles begin all over again.
Ah.
But people on the downward curve headed toward the hellish dimensions seek heat because the hells are cold and drab, so they drift towards degradation, sexual deviation, alcohol, drugs, black magic, and the predator's stance. Money is heat for them. It is created by people churning calories to earn it. And the regressives seek the heat, the money heat, as it feeds the ego's self-importance. So they try to steal it from honest people. At the billions, all the billions that are defrauded by the degenerates on Wall Street, for example, stolen money is mood food for vampires. And you might wonder why good people are tormented. Is because they are psychic predators and energy suckers and ghouls everywhere. In the end, only your protection keeps them at bay. And protection comes from goodness and purity. And after 1,000 years, the protection of the humans on Earth gradually breaks down. That is why the regressive spirit will incarnate once more and try to advance themselves by sucking off others. This is a bizarre article. But the Armageddon is a war fought in mirror world dimension that myself and others watch in trance. And the celestial seek to rub out the dark to give us all a bit of respite. And this is how being granted, and as the dominoes fall, the remaining tyrants get rattled and they go further down the curve. But as they descend, they will become even more nasty and cruel as their evolution to do so, as each has to be invited spiritually and destroyed, so there is no chance of anyone creeping back. Everything is very precise. So, there you have it. Try to be good, and if you can be good, can't be good, be careful. Or Stuart Wilde wrote that article. I thought that was clever. But I think he's got a point that we are, this is from Waking Times, but I think he's got a good point that we are an ascending race now, and everything is coming together. There's an article that Lila kind of lost her voice there. And
yeah, I can't. I don't have any voice.
So I'm going to let her pass by.
That's what's happened. That's why I haven't been able to read anything out loud.
Yeah.
It's like a whisper. Yours is still
there. Mine's still a whisper too, yeah.
You know, and it just disappears.
But the show must go on.
I know, we're trying.
Yeah, I wanted to mention this one because I feel happy about this.
What's
in
that
a lot of ways. Well, the massive power of the alternative media.
Oh, that was a good article.
Yeah,
I read that.
It's we're they've lost their power, guys. They're losing it, and the big news groups. And you feel like reading a little bit?
Yeah, read a little bit, and then I'll read a little bit more. My throat hurts
right.
Again.
This is by, let's see, In the Trenches, from the Trenches, worldreport.com.
From the Trenches in
World Report.
In World Report, okay.
Massive power of the alternative media. That's us. Are people like us.
Uh-huh.
Don't Tread on Me by Stuart Wilde. The big media networks, NBC, ABC, CBS, and CNN, are dying. And the BBC in London has been ridiculed into submission because of their biased reporting of the Middle East and their protection of pedophiles in their midst. Every few days, another person at the BBC or one of their performers gets himself arrested. BBC producer Wilfred Darth was arrested, along with comedian Freddie Starr and host TV host Dave Lee, not nicknamed. But CNN has lost 60% of its audience in the recent years. 60% of Americans no longer watch the major networks' nightly news. In fact, Russian television, Russia Today, is 10 times the size of CNN in viewers. People have had enough of the boring ideological rants and bias. The alternative media has gradually taken over. I said recently that if you search Google for Israel bombs Gaza, there are 12 million pages in English, and then there would be 12 million in other languages, making 25 million pages. If every page is read by 100 people on average, that's 2.5 billion viewers to the topic. A successful TV show in America used to be about 20 million viewers. Now let's call the Google hits 2.5A. And let's say there are six big stories running this week. Wall Street corruption, pedophilia, EU collapse. And we add them, he's got this formula that shows that the 20 million viewers times six stories, as compared to six stories times 2.5 billion, readers. And that's what alternative media is doing. It's just destroying the networks. These figures are very rough and ready, but do you see the point? It costs almost nothing to produce, to post on the internet. Well, sustaining the government lies via television and the print media costs billions of dollars a year. He said, There are tens of thousands of internet radio and TV shows around the world. So you can see how the government lies are feeble whisper, are a feeble whisper, while the truth is a loud roar. It's the voice of billions of disenfranchised people that are pissed off with the politicians milking them and sending their children to war and state-sponsored violence, the police state, government narco-traffickers, spy agencies, surveillance, gangsters in suits, GM foods, chemtrails, big pharma toxic vaccinations, and 100 other violations of people's rights to peace and a fair chance in life. It is a war. The industrial, military, and political machines seem to control all the exits and all the doors. They are nasty and anal, like Mr. Smith from the Matrix film. While the People's Revolution is Morpheus, and Neo and Trinity fighting to bring liberation. The people are brave, and they have hacked into the broadcast system and overwritten it with their message. The next 36 months, we'll see the collapse of IMPs, and what world remains, we shall have to wait and see. I trust in the process. I imagine that we will eventually see our tribes and regions cooperating with each other to bring a new kindness. That's my guess. Viva la revolution, and don't get the suckers grind you down. And I think that's interesting. But keep going, guys. You know, if you got that blog, or if you got that radio show, or you got that, somebody's got to get this message out. You know, somebody's got to give people hope. Somebody has to, you know, tell people it's okay. What you're feeling is happening all over the world. You know, so have faith, have hope. And secret government documents reveal vaccines to be a total hoax. It's pretty sad if you're thinking of getting a flu shot. Just by Natural News. If you have children, you are more than likely already aware of the official U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention immunization schedules, which today recommend an astounding 29 vaccines be given between birth and 6 years of age, including yearly flu shots, and as well as another 5 to 16 vaccines between ages 7 and 18. But a recent investigative report compiled by Dr. Lucidia, I can't pronounce her last name, uncovers more than 30 years of hidden government documents exposing these vaccine schedules as a complete hoax, not to mention the fraud of the vaccines themselves to provide any real protection against disease. Our paper focuses primarily on the British health system's elaborate cover-up of the dirty truth about its own national vaccination program. The tenets of the study's findings still apply to vaccination schedules in general, which are typically designed by the purpose of serving corporate interests rather than public health. Corporate authorities, it turns out, is an ongoing bid to satisfy the private goals of the vaccine industry, have deliberately covered up pertinent information about the dangers and effectiveness of vaccines from parents in order to maintain a high rate of vaccination compliance. And in the process, they put countless millions of children at risk of serious side effects and health. This article goes on quite lengthily, but I suggest you go to it. Secret government documents reveal vaccine to be a total hoax. That's in naturalnews.com. Let's see what else other goodies we have here. I think Now, here's a good one to end on. 20 dark predictions for 2013, year of oppression and insanity. What do you think of that, Lila?
Oh, I don't think too much.
This is the year of oppression and insanity.
Oh, I agree with that.
This is from Natural News.
Yeah, they have a good site. How's your voice, Leo?
Well, I'm still holding him. This will be the last article, I think.
No, I can't.
It says, 2013.
What does it say about that?
It's going to be the year of oppression and insanity.
Oh, God, really?
Yeah. It says, 2013 will go down in history as the year of global insanity. The earth isn't going crazy, but many of the people who inhabit it certainly are. Madness is about to be unleashed on many fronts, economic, social, political, financial, and more. In the near future, you will look back on the Christmas of 2012 and think, wow, those were the good times.
Jeez, I hope not. I was sick as a dog, and so were you.
Yeah. But the thing was is that, you know, the Mayan calendar predicted this end time to be really full of chaos.
Difficult and full of chaos,
yeah.
I know.
And we're going to start seeing it. Do not read this article if you wish to continue frolicking in the land of TV delusions, fake news, and celebrity gossip. These are the darkest real-world predictions I've ever published. We have not yet, and they are not things I ever wish to see come true. But I can't deny the reality of where things are headed. If we project present-day trends into 2013, 14, and 15, the picture becomes a multi-front nightmare.
What's he saying? It sounds very bleak.
Well, the madness in America has reached a crescendo. Nearly half the population is now under the mind control of a cult, a personality, a political figure named Obama, who is deliberately dismantling America one day at a time. Unlike Bush, who was simply a tyrant, Obama is a charismatic tyrant, and that's far more dangerous.
That is scary.
As you may recall, Adolf Hitler was also a highly charismatic and often won over the hearts and minds of his followers, using many of the same same speech patterns as Obama, and experts in neuro-linguistic programming and emotional manipulation. Because the population has been mesmerized into a state of near total complacency, an actual police state society is being rolled out right before our eyes. Complete with the planned destruction of the Bill of Rights and the characterization of anyone who believes in the Constitution as a terrorist. Both Republican and Democrats are doing nothing to stop it. They have been taken over by corporate interests or have been promised positions of power in this new society that they plan to install after they crush the Republic. With Obama at the helm, America is being turned into a gulag nation, complete with the sexual abuse of the citizens by federal agents.
You're getting filled up at the airport.
Secret execution lists of American citizens, DAA, secret gulag prisoners, and the government's continuing staging of mass shootings, Aurora, and more. Keep the population psychologically controlled in a never-ending state of fear. 2013 will be 1984 on steroids. The ultimate plan, as you will see rolled out over the next few years, is installing communism in America, which requires a complete government takeover of the economy, the total disarmament of the population so that people cannot fight back, the elimination of all who believe in freedom and liberty, and the official destruction of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. I wish I could say 2013 would be the year of love and peace, but unfortunately these will be used to provide a cover story for hatred, destruction, and war. And President Obama, the Nobel Peace Prize winner, is already one of the most repugnant war criminals in human history, having launched or continued 8 regional wars, complete with the dropping of peace bombs on innocent children and women. As long as Obama talks about love at home, even while firing drone missiles at innocent children in the Middle East, he is worshipped by his mind-slave minions in the U.S. By invoking love, Obama emotionally disarms the people and furthers his agenda of hatred, destruction, and enslavement. His supporters have long lost discernment and unknowingly are supporting the rise of the next tyrannical dictator. That's amazing. But, you know, I'm going to stop there, and I'm going to ask you, if you want to read the rest of this crap, go to Natural News. I'm kind of surprised that he put this much out, but you know, he's kind of a libertarian guy.
Who's
that?
The Natural News?
Yeah, Natural News. So you can go to that. But anyway,
to the end of the show here.
Yeah, and I want to thank everybody who joined us. And join us tomorrow night when our guest will be Larry Dorman, and we'll be talking about union issues and other important things with him.
Good, I hope we're in a little better voice tomorrow night.
Yeah.
If we read too much, it takes away what we have.
But anyway,
good night, folks, and have a good evening, and talk to you tomorrow.
Bye.